Hello, welcome to the 5280 podcast. Strap on and have a good time.
From the Mobile 5280 Studios, Weekend Geek Update, special report from the floor of Denver Comic Con. I know, see, I want that. I want, like, a sound effect put in there. That'd be great. You're hired. Instead, yes, when you cannot perform as an artist anymore, you can be my sound effects guy. Yeah, as my proton pack in the background goes kaput. It has been a wild Friday afternoon. And a longtime fan, you've been on the show. I think you have the record right now as far as most guest appearances.
I think I'm at 4 or 5.
At least.
Yeah.
So that puts you at the top. You beat Robin now. And Robin from Ley Lines.
Okay, cool.
And
Good.
And Stan Yen.
Nice. I like to beat Stan.
You're just setting records all over the place.
He does. Records in his shorts, records around the world.
Wow. I don't like beating Stan. That was a joke, Stan. I'm sorry. I love you.
I know he listens to the show. We can't make fun of Stan.
Stan I love great. You. We he love is. Stan. He's amazing. He's fantastic.
So this afternoon, I have the team from Rotternik, which is a new comic that is currently waging war on
Kickstarter.
Is it Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Is it directly for Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Straight to Kickstarter. We wanted to give it to the fans because our fans are awesome and we love them.
So now for the listeners at home, please identify yourselves.
My name is Jay Peter Onitz. I am a comic book artist and program chair at the Art Institute of Colorado.
This is Ron Bryce. I'm a comic writer and a novel writer.
Are you? What's your novel?
Novel's 30 Days from Sunday.
I did not know that.
I'm selling it at the booth. You want to come pick up a copy?
They're only $10 and only 5 left of the first print.
Of the first printing.
First
wow.
print.
I don't really trust prints when it's independent printers because, yeah. You know, what's stopping them from really just saying, no, it's the first third print that we've done, so.
Right. Well, I set it at 500. I said, all right, I'm going to print 500 of the first one and then
so you've actually sold through 500 of your first novel.
Yeah, of the physical copy, and then I've sold, however many of the digital.
Wow. So, do you think that independent publishing is the wave of the future? Is this where it's going? Because you guys are taking on a huge task with your Kickstarter for the comic book, you being an independent publisher. I mean, is this the future? Are we here?
The future is now.
dun, dun, dun.
You know, it's one of those things that I keep looking at independent publishing and doing it yourselves as a way in. It's a way to prove yourself, to show the people that you can do it. So I think that's a good start to it. But at the same time, if you look at companies like Image, who is blowing up in the comic world right now, it's all independent. Yeah, you have a distributor, but otherwise, they don't do a whole bunch for you. It's all you.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
They'll just say, okay, we'll send it to the masses.
We'll ship it for you.
Yeah.
That's kind of all that you get out of it.
And I think it's a back and forth thing with creative stuff right now. You have to find the market, and you can't necessarily find the market unless you're being published by somebody who's going to sell because of their name. So like a Marvel, a DC, a Valiant, a Boom. Who tend to sell things because it says Boom or it says Marvel on the book, but that's not where you're going to make the money or the living necessarily. It's going to come from that fan base going to your own piece and your own part and your own book and your own game or your own comic or whatever it is. So I think it's a back and forth. You have to prove to the people who are going to sell because they have a publishing name to get into the publisher, but then you have to break away from that to really make your way, I guess.
Because I remember, back in our day, when we were reading books, you steered away from publishers you didn't recognize.
Right.
I mean, because you're like, what is this? Because you get, like, the comic store owner of the day trying to slip you a Mickey. You know, they ordered heavy on something, or they think you're going to like this, trying to do the intuitive sell. And you're like, I don't want, this isn't Image, this isn't Marvel, this isn't DC, this isn't Dark Horse. And, right, and even Dark Horse was kind of questionable. You're like, it's Dark Horse. I don't really, you know. But the pendulum has swung the other way.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, you know, independent is getting more recognition, I think. So they're becoming more trusted. But I don't think the big publishers are ever going to go away. Like, I think they'll always be a part of the scene, you know.
But I honestly think that the independent publisher is telling the stories people want to read.
Yes.
Right.
Because as much as we live and die by Marvel, we love our heroes, we love to see them wrestle with it, I think they're losing their punch. How much reinvention can we see from DC? How many relaunches, new universes, alternate dimensions is Marvel going to give us? We don't even know what reality we're in anymore any of our stuff.
You don't see a lot of innovation.
No.
I think I fully agree with that, yeah.
It's a rehash of a rehash of a blend.
Yeah, well, you know, it's updating for the new markets, updating for the new millennium, and it's trying to do those things, and you're selling because it is Spider-Man, you're selling because it's the X-Men, you're selling because it's those characters, but, you know, that nice big sales boost at number one that we're seeing across the board disappears within two or three issues.
Yes. Because, so, I mean, Spectacular Spider-Man, which just came out last week, through the roof. Everybody's just talking about it, and wait till issue two, and, you know, I bet you,
yeah,
Rock City. But no one's reading the title regularly, and they're like, you know, the numbers start decreasing. Okay, well, forget getting a better writer. Let's just restart the whole damn thing.
Right, right, right.
We got a movie coming out. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so it's I don't know. I think independent is where you're finding the good, innovative stories because some of the other stuff is starting to get a little old, a little washed. So,
now, yep. With the independent publishers, have you guys looked at Titan at all?
No. I have not.
Because I know they're doing a lot of the Doctor Who books and they're trying to do like other stuff. But I can't. I try to like read some of their stuff and I'm just like, but I haven't found anyone else that's reading it, so I don't know.
I think the problem is you can only look at what you've heard of, you know? Like, if we haven't heard of something, we wouldn't even know to look there.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's good. I mean, the more people that give us information, we're going to try that stuff. It's the same thing with all of our pieces in the booth. You know, people give us feedback, and we're like, oh, you like that? We're going to do more of that, right? And then if we screw something up, we're like, okay, let's do less
of that.
Jay
doesn't care. You can go up to him and say, you know what? Your proportions are out of whack. Your color schemes are awful, and I hate your shading. And Jay would be like, okay, thank you very much.
Honey badge, you don't give a shit.
Yeah, and then you cry on your way home from the con.
That's true. Well, yeah, but nobody, you know, you got to put on the strong face in front of your fans, and you got to be like, sure. Yeah, no, that's cool. That's good. Yeah, yeah, thanks. Okay, good. And then when you have your own private moment, that's when you can break down and really
have a heartfelt emotions, cry.
Yeah, let those
out.
Emotions out.
I like it. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, we have actually been contacted by a couple small companies through the Kickstarter, which is kind of cool.
Great.
But, you know, it's, you don't know them, and you go look at their catalog and see what's there, and like, maybe, let's see what, let's talk through it and let's see what there is and see what you can do and see what you're offering, what you're going to do for us. So we're not saying no to anybody because, I mean, we want to do this just as much as, you know, anybody else up on the floor who wants to do comics.
Right.
But, you know, we're not going to go, oh, yeah, absolutely. Just because
we'll
said.
We'll just sign the rights over to you now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, you know, we're being cautious about it, but we're not opposed to anyone at
the
moment.
We just want to make sure that, you know, we can do something for them. We want to make sure they can also do something for us, right? Like,
right.
It needs to be an equal relationship, right? And if it's not, then, you know, we need to look elsewhere. So it's like, we'll just kind of keep exploring these options.
Brings you right back where you are with the Kickstarter. Now, you launched the Kickstarter, what was the date?
June 8th.
And the final day for the Kickstarter?
July 9th.
So next week.
Next week.
So how close to goal are you right now?
We are at 113% to goal.
So you have blown by your objective. So
yes.
Nobody is interested in independent publishers or this title whatsoever.
No, not at all.
Zero interest here.
Zero. Nobody. Nobody
we
wants
were just
it.
Blown away by it. Like, could not believe it. Like, just the first week, we were like, oh my God. Like, look at this go up. Like, look at all these people that are interested in this. And that was fantastic.
Yeah, the first week, we were averaging 5 or 6 backers a day, and we were just seeing the numbers tick, and you get that nice boost at the beginning of the Kickstarter. And honestly, for both of us, it was like,
we just had 5 more people.
But see, in a way, that's kind of, I mean, you expect, all right, out of the gate, you expect a certain rush.
Right.
Sure.
Friends, family,
friends and
people
family.
You reach out to, and yeah.
Yeah, and as much as we network, that can be extensive.
Yeah.
So to get it, that initial rush, and then continue with the flow. I mean, that speaks highly of the product, because the Broaderneck story, which I'll let you go into because you tell it way better than I do. Go figure.
But you have been on the radio for so long, you would think that you could BS your way through these things.
I can BS my way out of almost anything, especially a ticket, but not so much. You would... Jesus. You didn't expect this kind of talk show, did you?
I really didn't, but I'm enjoying it.
You're not doing good.
I like this show.
So now the Broaderneck idea, was this like a collaboration between the two of you guys, or how did this come up? Is this your baby?
Yeah, I mean... So when I wrote my first novel, 30 Days from Sunday, I was like, okay, I want to explore how people react to illness. And that was kind of where I was going. And so I wrote two stories, the one that I published and then this one, this Broaderneck story.
Right.
I called it Nuclear, and it was the idea that, you know, let's take this 1940s gangster, have him be exposed to nuclear radiation, and then see how he would end his life, right? So would he go for redemption? Right, and try to fix all the wrongs that he had done, or would he go for revenge to all the people that had wronged him in his life, right? It seemed very sensational and whatnot, and so I sort of shelved it. And then okay. Jay came along.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know me from Magicians Must Die, the comic book on playing cards. So we were finishing up that last year, and I was talking to RJ here, Ron here, and I said, so... I'm looking for something, and I think you should write a comic because we love the book that we did, God, 16 years ago now.
Right.
And he said, well, I have this crime noir story about this guy, and he told me the pitch, and I went, yeah, you should make that a comic. So we did the 4-page preview, which is up on the Kickstarter. You can read the book, see how it's going to look, get a sense for how it's going to feel over the course of the next 4 issues, and... That was the instigation of this whole thing. I mean, it's his story. It's now a comic, and it's this kind of deep-rooted sense of anger that runs throughout the book.
Oh, he's definitely angry.
Oh,
he's,
yeah.
He and I don't know if it's more angry at himself or just life or just a series of unfortunate events. This man is bitter.
Yeah,
right. I mean, that happens, right? I mean, especially when you're diagnosed with something terminal.
And you just can't die.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, well, these are the natural stages, right? And that's the question of where do people go with that? You know, like where does their life go after that? You know,
right.
Because it doesn't just end right there at the diagnosis. Like, you actually have events that play out, right? And so that's what we're trying to explore. And, you know, it's funny. Jay called it my story, but it was my story. But now it's kind of our story. And, like, every person that we add on to the project, it changes and becomes something more. You know, and
well, it
and
adds
fantastic.
A different life, a different take to,
exactly.
Yeah, to
yeah,
the whole thing.
Exactly, yeah. The more
thing.
Takes we get on it, the better. You know, when Jay came on, it changed significantly. When Tony Zolo came on and started coloring it for us, it changed again. And it just keeps getting better every single time, which is kind of why we went for Kickstarter. We were like, hey, let's get all these people involved with this and make it even better.
So, issue one, it starts off with a bang.
Right. Yeah.
In the preview. Yeah. In the preview, it starts out with a bang. How many issues are you thinking you guys are going to be able to go? I mean, you're past goal now.
Yep.
Right.
So where is this? Where again? It's taking you into another direction you didn't expect. Where are you? Where do you go? What's next?
Well, we're definitely going to do 4 issues with this story. It's very standalone. It's going to end, I guess, the way my stories usually end. And if you read my book, you'll find out how those end.
With a
teaser.
With a kitten on his lap and
yeah, something like that. Yeah, but point being is that we definitely have the option in the background to do something else with it, and so we could do other 4-issue runs or even a 12-issue run of a different story. And so we kind of want to finish this one up, see how the interest goes, and then maybe take it somewhere else.
All right, so if Image came to you, done in?
Oh yeah,
more than likely.
I think so. Yeah.
One of those big guys like Image, Boom, Oni, Marvel. I know.
You're too highbrow for Marvel. That's the problem. I really hate to break it to you, but you're too highbrow for Marvel.
Aww.
The House of Ideas is broken.
I think that. Thank you. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks.
That wasn't an insult towards you.
Okay.
Well, that's
this
good.
Time.
You know. Yeah. If we had one of those companies that are a well-known company who said we like it, we want to distribute this for you, or we want to make sure it reaches the audience it deserves, then, yeah, I think we'd be in a heartbeat.
So now, the Broaderneck universe, then. So it's only 4 issues. Is this going to cross over into more? I mean, what do you...
That's the idea, is that...
How does this shape future issues?
Well, we would probably go with other characters for the other... Like, we would do other story arcs, right? I have a few favorite characters in the stories that I have outlined other runs for. And so if this four-issue series finishes, you know, and we're like, yeah, that was great, we have a huge fan base, they want more, we would switch over to one of the other characters and do either another 4, 8, or 12-issue run for a story for them.
All right.
So it would stay in the same universe, in the same same world, but we would... you know, skew it slightly with a different character.
All right.
Yeah. So what are you guys reading now, or are you?
I know,
well, I never know what you're reading, because you're all over the board.
I am all over the board. I'm, like, all over the board right now. I'm picking up Star Wars, Darth Vader, Shudder.
I don't know where the hell that book is going.
I don't know either, but I'm enjoying the ride, man.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It is a wild ride every issue, and I'm waiting to see what Joe and Layla finish up with.
Because it's almost done now, right?
Yeah.
She's
30 issue total, and I think they're on 26 or 27.
Uh-huh. That's what I heard.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's going to be amazing, however it ends up. I'm reading Mother Panic, which is great.
Really?
Oh, my God.
I steered away from that, because I was just like, oh.
Oh, you need to pick it up.
Oh, God. Because God Country, I picked that up. And that was just, I'm like, by issue 3 or 4, I'm like, okay, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Jody Hauser is weaving just this really, really cool Gotham story. Tommy Lee Edwards, Sean Crystal, and I think J.P. Leon are kind of alternating every 3 or 4 issues. So,
you know what? I appreciate that, just so it kind of gives you a nice little refresh.
Yeah.
And a break from whatever's going on.
And the art that, I mean, what I've seen so far from Tommy Lee Edwards and Sean Crystal, the two of them seem to be going, oh, you can do that? Look what I can do. Oh, you can do that?
All the one-up game.
Look what I can do.
Nice.
And the layouts that Sean's been doing for some of his future issues, he puts them up on Facebook and Instagram, are just ridiculous. Beautiful, beautiful pages. So Mother Panic, I think, is a must pick up. You turned me on to 7 to Eternity. I'm enjoying that. Very, very good. Remender and Opeña.
That is
very, very good.
By far right now, my favorite story that I got right now.
Yeah.
Because 7 to Eternity is, whoa, that is a masterpiece right now, my
friend. Yeah, they're building quite the world with it. So,
I need to pick this one up.
It's good.
Okay.
7 to Eternity is, I mean, the world they're building, it is exotic, it is messed up, but it is... Again, what a ride. Because you don't know, and I look forward to it every week. Well, I was pissed when it took a break.
They built this huge villain up in the first issue and then killed him in the second.
Yeah.
I'm like,
spoiler alert.
What did you just
do?
Why? So, I mean, they're... It's gorgeous. It's amazing. And it's well drawn.
Yeah, because, I mean, he gets... in the first issue, he leaves the family. He's putting everything together. He's off to fight the bad guy. You're thinking, okay, this is going to be a direct... Nope, second issue. Like, holy shit. Really?
Yeah. And so now it's... it's just
but
so
it,
good.
It what it ended up doing, though, it ended up unveiling... I mean, so much more after after the main villain was gone... It was an eruption of story. I mean, there's so much that came out of it.
Yeah, it's worth a read.
And it was such a surprise twist of how to tell a story. It really was. Oh, here's the main villain. We're killing him.
Yeah,
it's good. Brilliant.
Jesus, I definitely need to read this.
Yes, it's good. It's very, very good.
Hell of a setup.
Yep. So.
And you, sir? What are you? Are you a reader?
Yeah, well, I mean, I read a lot of novels. I'm reading, like, The Expanse series right now that they have a series on Sci-Fi for.
Yes.
And they're doing the shows now, so.
Yes, and I love the miners.
Right, yes, exactly.
Those guys are just freaking nuts.
So they brought out the newest novel for that. I read a lot of the Star Wars comics when they came out. I dropped most of them, just kind of, I don't know, I'm really picky when it comes to my comics. Like, they need to be outstanding, or I just get 6 or 7 issues in and I drop it.
I mean, the Darth Maul one has been decent. I was pissed when the first Vader series ended.
Right, same. Like, I read that one all the way through.
Yes.
I loved it. That was great.
It was awesome, and the reveal at the end, and I won't spoil that one, because that one was it was a really good end for
that. Yeah, it's worth it. Like,
but then they bring back
up
the new Vader series, and I'm trying to, like, figure that one out, and I'm like, well, where does this fit in?
I only made it in like an issue or two, and then I dropped it. I just, again, like I said, I'm just picky.
Yeah,
you know,
I get it. Because I am picky about my Star Wars.
Yeah, really, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just that way about everything. Yeah. You know, like, the only series I have everything of is like Michael Turner's Fathom and, the Long Halloween series from Tim Sale and Jeff Loeb.
You can't go wrong with that series. Oh,
no. And they're all up on my wall. They're all signed. You know, like, I loved them so much. And anything like that, I would still get into, you know. Fathom, I just loved that everything was so colorful. Everything popped off the page at you. And I'm always looking for a new comic
that. Well, Turner's line work, I mean.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
That man was.
He was a god. He was amazing. And he will be missed forever.
Yeah. Because I know everyone always complains about how he drew women exactly the same.
Yep.
Bullshit. I mean, his line work and his detail and just the symmetry is,
is
beautiful.
I have that issue with him and how he draws a lot of people the same, but, you know, there's some really big-name artists that did an entire run on Ultimate Spider-Man.
Bagley.
That drew all the characters the same way. There's an artist upstairs on the show floor that draws all of his women the same way. Gorgeous, beautiful women, amazing covers for almost every single Marvel book. Campbell. But...
they all have that
just
nose.
Down the
they
do. Gauntlet today.
But all of them have a lot of very similar things where their layouts and their stories are great and their line work is off the charts.
Yep.
Like, I got J. Scott Campbell's Lineology last year at San Diego, and I pore over that book just like, oh my God, how are you doing those lines?
Yeah.
It's amazing. So.
I mean, just watching him pencil shit, it's...
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. It's amazing. So... Just variety, please.
We don't want everyone to draw like Jim Lee, DC.
Yeah.
Come on. Give us a little variation.
Yeah.
Because that's all DC has become.
Yeah.
We were talking about that today, where we've never had Jim Lee here,
no.
Which, as a comic book enthusiast, I find shocking. But, to be fair, I guess we could get any DC artist here and say they're Jim Lee, and no one would be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ivan Reis or Ethan Van Sciver or...
But I like Ethan. Ethan, I kind of like the guy.
Well,
he's a decent dude.
He's a good guy.
Yeah. Even though he works for DC.
The amount of hating going on.
It's
right
not
now.
Hate. It's not. No, no, no. No, it's not hate. It's,
we are
it's an honest conversation.
Oh, okay, I got
that
you.
Is critiquing an industry, right?
Yes.
Let's go with that.
I can respect that.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, if the fans can't critique it, who can?
Well, right. I mean, that's exactly what it's all about,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we put our stuff out, and it is to be critiqued. Like, that's what it's for, right?
Because you guys get pulled apart. You're indies.
Sure. Yeah.
So, right away, and that's what really kills me, because the line that people draw, oh, they're professionals, I really can't go off on them. But indies, you should do it this way. I mean, the flood of, you know, suggestions you guys get. Oh, I wouldn't do that.
There was no middle ground
way.
On my first book. You know, after I released it, the amount of, I got the exact same amount of hate mail as I got, you know, fan mail. You know, people either loved it or they absolutely hated it. There was never an in-between, and I think I'm willing to bet that's the same for a lot of indie people.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It is. Now, how long have you been writing as a writer on whole?
Well, I mean, really high school, I guess, is when we did our first book.
Yeah.
So, you know, on and off, different magazines, getting short stories published, stuff like that.
What is the best way? I mean, because I get approached a lot. They're like, I've got this great story. I want to get it out. And I can point them in the direction. What is the best way for a writer to get out there?
Well, honestly, nowadays. These days, if they want to go big, they have to get themselves an agent. Unfortunately, a lot of the big publishers will not accept submissions that are unsolicited.
Wow.
And the agents are allowed to submit them, right? So you go out, find yourself an agent, and then you'll get in with the big publishers. Otherwise, just throw your stuff out there, man. Get through CreateSpace or Kickstarter or whatever. Just publish your own stuff and get it out there, right?
Wow.
And the more you put out there, the more people start to like it and the better you get.
It's back to the conversation we had at the beginning. You have to prove to them that you can do it.
You can hit the post,
right?
So you
have to do it yourself. So then you can go to the publishers, and then you can build your fan base.
Say, hey, look,
and then
I did
it. And you can do it yourself.
I made all this money. So. Please publish me now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go out, prove myself, make money just so you can hire me so I can make money, then go
so
back
make
and make
less
more money.
Money.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 It's that.
So that they can take most of the money.
Yes. Yeah. They can take the credit.
I'm
look at
make,
our new talent.
I'm going to make a higher percentage, and then I'm going to make a larger fan base, and then make about the same, even though I'm selling more books or more comics or whatever. And then I'm going to come back over and I'm going to make more of the percentage with my larger
right.
fan base.
Well, that was what I went to a talk with Jim Butcher a few years ago, and he actually said,
great,
you know,
guy. I like Jim.
Yeah, I loved him. And he asked, you know, somebody asked him, they said, why do you keep staying with a big publisher? And he said, well, I have a lot of leverage now. I've done a lot of books, right? And that's exactly what it gives you. You know, the more you do, the more they're going to pay you, the more leverage you have. Because any time you have this huge following, you can say, all right, I'm going indie, I'm going to publish my own stuff, and I'm going to keep all the profits. So at that point, they have to keep you happy, or else you're not going to stick around.
Goodbye, bye.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I respected that. I was like, man, good for you, Jim.
But it, again, you're like, you are Jim Butcher.
Right, but at the same time, you are amazing, and, you know, please teach me, Obi-Wan. You know?
You are Jim Butcher. We're not worthy. Yeah. We love you.
You're not even human.
Yeah. Stephen King who? Never mind.
Sorry. No.
Dean Koontz? Never mind. So, what's on the horizon? Are you doing another novel?
Yep, definitely doing another novel. It's very different from my first one. My first one was really deep, really heavy. The new one's an adventure tale. It's going to be a lot of fun, you know, really trying to appeal to a really large, big audience and get as many copies out there as I can. Maybe even get in with a publisher. We'll see.
Wow, get in bed with a publisher. Now, who is your agent? Do you have an agent?
You know, I don't. I've shopped around with a few, and I've got offers from a few, but since the book's not finished, I'm just kind of waiting until it's actually done to actually accept something and say, okay, let's
pitch.
See how this goes. Yeah, exactly. Who can you pitch this to? You know, exactly which publishing companies are going to get this on their desk and give me a shot, you know? And that's how I'll make my final decision on who I want to give my next novel to, so.
Fair enough. Now, we'll switch, stay in the comic book vein. Films this summer? I don't even know if I want to throw this at you. This is like a ripe tangerine.
The films this summer?
Yeah, comic films.
I haven't seen any of them.
You're a daddy. Congratulations, by the way. You've got your hair still, too.
Many times, daddy, yes.
Multiple
yeah.
times.
Multiple
but you,
times.
You have a... How old is the youngest
I have a four-month-old.
Four-month-old?
Yeah, four-and-a-half-month-old right now.
Shit.
And an 8-month-old, or 8-year-old, and then four in between.
He's got a whole herd.
Yeah, I haven't made.
Are you working on like a small sports team or something?
Well, so my brother coaches volleyball, and he said he needed six, so I got him six. But it's girls volleyball, and I have two boys, so he'll have to fill in the rest.
You have never shot a blank in your life, have you?
Not until now. Da, da, da. One shot, one kill, baby.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so unfortunately, I haven't been able to go see any of them.
Wow.
Which stinks.
You don't seem very broken up about it.
A little bit. I really wanted to go see Guardians 2. I loved Guardians 1. I thought it was amazing. Second best Marvel movie since the MCU started. Iron Man is number one.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no.
Because
maybe Winter Soldier.
Because that Cap 2 is a hard one to beat.
Winter Soldier was amazing.
That's a hard one to beat.
Yeah, so Guardians was probably 2 or 3. Iron Man's up there.
Iron Man's in the top 5. Easy.
So, yeah. Those are good. And Wonder Woman, I've just heard amazing things about. And the fact that it's directed by a woman and produced by a woman. And, I mean, it's...
And Gal Gadot is...
A woman.
Oh, my God, is she a woman.
True.
That woman needs to be mass-produced.
Yes. So, anyway, you know, I definitely wanted to go get to them, and I want to get to Spider-Man Homecoming, and I just...
Yeah. I am, out of that, I am looking most forward to seeing Michael Keaton back in a comic book movie as a villain.
Yes.
This, by far, is the most intriguing, tantalizing piece of comic stuff that I can touch right now.
Still watches Batman's.
Yes.
To this day, they're still great.
In fact, he is still my favorite Batman. He has, as much as Dark Knight is good and all that,
right?
For the time, no.
And I would say overall, right?
Like, yes.
I think overall he's my favorite. Like,
yes.
For a single movie, I don't know, Christian Bale with Batman Begins was so good. Like,
it's very convincing. He does, but the other films kind of, I mean.
Right, exactly.
We
and
don't
if you look at it as a whole, then it's... Yeah, it's Michael Keaton all the way for me.
I don't know. I like George Clooney.
Oh,
that's wrong. Wrong.
God.
No, I'm with you. Michael Keaton is a very, very good Batman. Christian Bale was great too, but Michael Keaton is Batman. He is Batman.
He is Batman.
Yeah.
He made that role, but now he's the Vulture.
I know.
He looks
so good.
So nuts. He reminds me of that scene when he's facing off against Nicholson. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, out of all the lines in that movie, that's the one I remember the most.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
That is just so well done.
Yep.
So, where does he get those wonderful toys?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. Great lines. Now, have you partaken of the comic book film scene, or are you...
Here and there.
All right.
That's all I'll say. I don't want to get in trouble.
How are you going to get in trouble? He hasn't seen shit. I won't tell you about Guardians.
Yeah, you know, God, I'm a teacher, and I'm off for the summer, and I still haven't seen them. Like, I just always find something more important to do, like...
Drink?
Yeah, laundry, you know? Laundry and booze.
That's quite...
Smoking weed, doing laundry.
All
that's
right.
It. That's my daily routine. That's it.
I like it.
Sweeping the floor. Instead of seeing sweet movies that with empty movie theaters, I can see them all by myself.
Well, if you're going to pass out, you might as well land somewhere clean.
I know, right?
Yeah. At least that's my bylaw.
Yeah, right? You know, and I'd have to be sober to actually get to the movie. I guess that's the problem, you know?
It's true. There you are. There's some helpful.
Yeah, this is a family show, right?
Tips. Yeah. Yeah, don't want to meet that Adam's
family. That's
how to
get your creative juices going.
Listen to us? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
So how is school going?
School's good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, we're off for the next 3 weeks, or 2 weeks now.
Right.
We just had a really good graduation, a lot of good kids out there, a lot of good students looking for jobs. So if anybody needs students to do gaming or animation or anything like that, come to the Art Institute. No, it's going really well. We're up on the floor. We've got 13 panels from the Art Institute this weekend across all 3 days. There's one going on right now about STEM and STEAM comics.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow we've got an inking demo. So come see us do an inking demo on how to draw with ink. And then we've got about 11 on Sunday on a variety of topics, either history and comics or cooking the food of your favorite animations.
That just looks like a recipe for disaster, because it never comes out the way I see or on the package or the picture. It sucks.
Right. Well, you've got a great culinary management graduate who's going to be walking you through some of the steps, showing you about it, and giving you a recipe book at the end. So,
wow.
Some pretty good stuff there, but a lot of good variety about gaming and networking and going viral and getting money for your projects and kickstarting things and all sorts of variety in what the Art Institute's doing this weekend.
Well, and gaming actually has quite the presence this weekend up in DCC, because right there at the entrance as you go in is a whole freaking section for gaming this year, which is a nice change.
Like, it all needs to cross over. It's fantastic. Like, the more industries we get together working together, the better everything's going to be, you know, just for everybody.
Well, and that's why I'm, like, waiting to see Battle Chasers come out, because Joe Mad finally got that video game done. I'm a huge Joe Mad fan, and finally going to see the comic book come to a video game.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yes. So, well, guys, how do the home players follow you?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. It's Facebook/RA Bryce.
That's it?
That's it, man. I hate all the other social media. I can't keep up with all of them. Like, I can't have 16 different accounts and try to manage all of them every day. I'm just like, no, I got
one.
So, sit back and watch a pro here.
That's right.
You can follow me on Instagram at jpeteronitz. Just J, last name Peteronitz. PeteranEtz. You can follow me on Twitter. Same thing. You can follow me on Facebook. Same thing. You can check out my portfolio at jpeteronitz.daportfolio.com, or you can follow my blog at jnoblepeteronitz.com. How's that? That enough?
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
My brain hurt. Like,
oh!
You are just dedicated like you read about.
I had a little Uzi moment there, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, just J, just the letter, and then PeteranEtz. Across the board.
I mutilate your last name. I always feel bad, so I'm just calling JP now.
Yeah, there you go.
That works.
I've been doing it since he was a baby.
And you can Google me. I'm the first one.
You like it when I Google you too
I
much.
I do like it when you Google me.
Like it way too much. So, keep an eye out for it. If you get funded for the Kickstarter, where are they going to find the book?
We are going to have it up and available on probably through social media stuff where you can contact us and we'll send it to you. We're going to hopefully have it out and about around Denver. Probably drop it at a couple shows like Mile or sorry stores like Mile High Comics and I Want More Comics, Time Warp, Mr. X Comics, which is an online comic shop. We'll have a series of them as well, and then we'll just keep pushing it out and about, and we'll let you know as it goes.
What's the next con in store for you guys, or is this it for the while?
Fort Collins Comic Con.
Yeah, Fort Collins next, right?
Oh. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. On August 25th, 26th this year, I think.
That's the Springs Comic Con. Not Fort Collins.
It's they're both the same weekend.
Again?
Yeah.
Son of a...
And we got to pick one.
Bitch.
So. Yep. We're going to the one we've been going to for a few years now.
Yep.
All right.
Well. And then Rocky Mountain Con in October.
Where we will be there as well on the floor. The only podcasting team you will find there because Rocky Mountain Con is our proud sponsor. So, guys, thanks for sitting in. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you for the time.
Anytime.
Big, I know.
Big love.
But we love you.
Yes.
And don't forget, in the end, we're all stories, so make it a good one.